Field report number 949. Subject's name is Carlson Stacy Ann. The report you're about to hear was conducted using a Marantz analog tape recorder. The tape has not been altered or tampered with in any way, shape, or form. Also present at the time of interview, Sheriff Edward Garrison. My conclusions and recommendations to follow.
I haven't seen one of those in a long, long time.
It's only a backup. I had a hard drive crash at me in grad school. Ever since, I've recorded all my interviews digitally and on tape.
Good thinking, I guess. But isn't it hard to get tape for that old thing? Why not just use two digital recorders?
Sentimental reasons, partly. This is sort of a hand-me-down. My dad used to be a reporter. Plus, I found that there are some things you can only get on tape.
Really? Like what?
One moment, please. Here. Testing. 1, 2. Test. Test. This is Dr. Lee Mannion. Case file number ETK45116. It is Wednesday, April 12th, 2017, 11:07 a.m. I am at the Lofgren County Sheriff's Station with... Sheriff, would you mind stating your name for the record?
Sheriff Edward Boyd Garrison. You can call me Ed.
Sheriff Garrison is in charge of a missing person investigation surrounding one Gregory Michael Carlson, age 35. I will be speaking to Mr. Carlson's wife, Stacy, who witnessed the disappearance. I've read your report, Sheriff, but I have to admit there are areas that puzzled me.
You and me both, Doc.
Can you walk me through it for the record?
Well, we got the call a little over a week ago. Mrs. Carlson was in a state of extreme distress. Said her husband had disappeared.
She made the call?
No, another motorist was driving past out Route 271 by the old radio tower. Said her car door was wide open and she was sort of half in, half out of the driver's seat, near catatonic. Car battery was completely dead. Took him a while to get through to her, and when he did, she started flipping out, banging on the radio and screaming her husband's name over and over.
How long had she been out there?
Best guess, 12 hours, give or take. I mean, she sure hasn't told us with any degree of accuracy.
And that's where she claims the abduction took place.
Abduction? What, like UFOs?
I was thinking kidnapping.
Well, it may as well be, little green men. According to Mrs. Carlson, he literally disappeared. Vanished into thin air. Here one second, gone the next.
And Miss Carlson saw that happen?
Not exactly. She says she heard it on the radio.
Excuse me?
She says she and her husband were listening to kind of a sermon on the radio.
What do you mean, kind of?
She says this sounded like more of a cult thing than your standard East Texas Bible thumpers. That's why I asked for you to come talk to her. A buddy of mine in Dallas said you had some experience with that kind of thing?
That's true, but I don't understand. You think her husband joined this cult?
Nah. To be honest with you, I'd half suspect the guy ducked out the back door of this place and hid out until she went away. Except there's a hell of a lot easier ways to pack up and leave your missus. Unfortunately, this story of hers is about the only lead I've got. If nothing else, I was hoping you'd give me some insight into what she says she heard.
She agreed to a polygraph?
Yeah, for all the good that did us. We had to bring in a guy all the way from Dallas to administer the damn thing. The results were inconclusive.
Truly inconclusive polygraphs are rare.
That's what I hear. At first, this guy thought there might be something wrong with his equipment. Said it was almost like it was picking up interference somehow. But he triple-checked it, said everything was working fine.
So is Ms. Carlson considered a witness or a suspect?
Well, I don't have any evidence of a crime being committed here, so I don't exactly have anything to suspect her of.
Then why have you been holding her?
Hell, I haven't been holding her, Doc. She won't leave. Look, my men have been all over that transmitter station. I've got no sign of an abduction or a struggle or even so much as a minor disturbance. We searched the whole area, thinking maybe he wandered off and got lost somehow. I mean, you'd have to be a special kind of stupid to get lost out there, flat as it is. But it was dark. He's a city boy. Hell, maybe he is just that stupid. You can't never tell. We didn't find a goddamn thing. I didn't know any better. I'd say the whole thing was in her head, including her even having a husband in the first place.
So, do you have any evidence at all that the husband was even there at the radio station?
Nothing concrete. Some partial footprints. Not hers, but could be anybody's. His luggage and personal effects were in the car, and that's enough for me to take her word for it that Greg Carlson is a real person anyway. But I don't have the first clue how to find him. All I've got is her, and frankly, I don't know what she saw or heard. I guess she's what you might call a person of interest.
I see. Well, could you bring her in, please?
Sure thing. How's it be outside?
Thank you, Sheriff. Hello, Stacy. I'm Dr. Mannion, but you can call me Lee if you'd like.
Doctor, why am I not surprised?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Of course you do. Come on. It's been over a week. Nobody has the slightest idea what happened to my husband, so they've decided I must be crazy, right?
No one thinks you're crazy, Stacy.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you're wrong about that.
Well, I don't. How about that?
You just met me. Stick around.
What do you think?
Doctor, I watched my husband walk into a tiny building way out in the middle of nowhere. Seconds later, I heard him on the radio talking to this preacher. And when I followed him into the building, there was nothing there, including him. Now I know what I saw, and I know what I heard, and I also know that that's impossible. So yeah, I might be questioning my sanity a little bit right now.
Well, I'm not here to assess your mental state. Although, believe it or not, the fact that you're questioning your sanity is actually a good indicator that you're not mentally unbalanced.
Imagine my relief.
You and Greg are from Atlanta, is that right?
Yes.
And you were headed back home from New Mexico when the incident took place.
I wanted to fly, but Greg loves road trips.
You were visiting family in New Mexico?
My parents.
Will they be coming to help with all this?
No, they cannot know about this.
Stacy, it's important to have a support system.
My parents are not a support system.
Are you afraid they won't believe you?
I know they won't believe me. They'll say that whatever happened to Greg was God's will.
I take it you disagree.
I don't believe God had anything to do with what I heard out there.
And yet you were listening to a religious broadcast when... I'd like to ask you a few questions about that, if I may.
I've told the police everything I heard. They've never heard of this guy. They can't even find the station we were listening to.
That's an interesting point. According to the report, that transmitter station used to broadcast at the same frequency your car radio was tuned to. This was a year ago, of course.
How could we have possibly known that?
I'm not suggesting you did, Stacy. I'm just curious. I'd like to do a little experiment. I have some recordings I'd like to play for you to see if any of them remind you of what you heard. Will you do that for me?
How is this going to help find Greg?
In your initial statement, you said you believe Greg had been abducted by this group. There's a commonality of language that cult leaders tend to use. Each one has its own individual message or focus, but they all spring from the same pool of influences. If we can identify similar speech patterns or rites or rituals, we can begin to narrow it down and hopefully find the group you heard. It's not much, but it's a start.
All right.
2 Corinthians tells us that though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison.
That's not him, but...
What?
I know him, his voice. I've heard him before.
Really? But when was that?
When I was a kid. That's... What was his name? Mike? No, Mark. Pastor Mark. He used to have a TV show. My parents watched it every week.
Your parents are fairly religious, I take it.
You could say that.
You're not?
No, not anymore.
From what I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds as if you have a difficult relationship with your parents. And perhaps some strong emotions specifically tied to your religious upbringing. Is that accurate?
I suppose I do. So what?
Do you think the sermon you heard may have triggered some of these feelings, or maybe even memories?
No. that, what you just played me did, but what I heard wasn't anything like that. What I heard was dark and violent.
Shocking.
Wait, what exactly are you suggesting?
You heard something on the radio that, by your own account, resembled a religious broadcast. Given your upbringing and hostility towards your parents, it's possible that acted as a trigger. Your psyche may have used that to construct a fantasy in order to protect you from what actually happened on your trip home.
What actually happened? I knew it! I knew you didn't believe me!
I do believe you, Stacy. Something clearly happened to you out there. But we have to explore every possibility.
Don't you think I've already done that? Do you honestly think it's somehow easier for me to go around telling complete strangers a story even I think is insane? If this is all in my head, why am I still here instead of back home?
Stacy, please. I understand how upset you are. I promise you, I'm trying to help.
Are you? Because I really don't see the point of all this.
It's a place to start, Stacy. That's all it is. Right now, this is all we have to go on.
Fine. What's next?
I want you to listen to another recording. This is a woman named...
No, it was a man. We heard. Not a woman.
In your statement, you also mentioned a woman. Amanda?
Abigail. Sister Abigail. But she wasn't the preacher. She was a follower of some kind.
I see. What can you tell me about Sister Abigail? You said you felt like she spoke to you. What do you mean by that?
I thought I heard her say my name.
While the preacher was talking?
No, she was just sort of faded in and out of nowhere, talking to me directly.
Did Greg hear this?
No, he wasn't in the car.
I see.
He heard her the second time. Later on, she was there in the room with the preacher and the rest of them. Something happened to her. He heard that.
In your initial statement, you said it sounded like her voice was being ripped apart. Could you elaborate on that?
Could I? No, I can't fucking elaborate on that. That's what it sounded like, okay? I don't know what I heard. I don't know what happened to her, and I don't know what any of this has to do with finding my husband. That is literally the only thing I give a single solitary fuck about. Do you understand that?
Of course I do, Stacy. We all want the same thing here. Would you like some water?
No. Are we done?
Almost. I have one last recording I'd like to play for you.
Please. I can't do this anymore. I know you're trying to help, but...
Stacy, do you know why I'm here? I mean, me, specifically.
No.
In 2008, there was a religious group. A cult led by a man named Michael Allen Denning, located just outside Corpus Christi. Dunning believed World War III was going to break out in April of that year. He amassed a small but extremely loyal group of followers and a large number of automatic weapons. There was a standoff with the ATF that lasted about 3 days. It ended when Dunning and most of his group committed suicide. You may remember hearing about it on the news.
Vaguely.
I treated the handful of survivors from Dunning's camp. Religious fanaticism became my primary field of interest. I've studied these groups extensively. I've seen what they can do. I identify them, I track them, and I try to prevent another Denning incident from happening ever again. I don't know what happened to your husband, Stacy, but I believe you heard something out there. And I believe figuring out what that was is the first step towards getting Greg back.
Do you really think he's out there somewhere?
Don't you?
Yes, he is. I feel it.
Let's find him.
Okay, play the next one.
We live in a world divided against itself, brothers and sisters. This is a world besieged and enveloped by bitterness and tribulation. It is a world that...
What is it? You looked as though you recognized something just now.
That's not him, but that was the word he kept using, tribulation.
I see, but you're sure this isn't the same man?
Positive.
May I play a little more just to be certain?
I am certain, but fine.
Good people see the same signs we see and do nothing. Why, Lord? Why is it up to us to stand up and scream from the highest mountaintop? Wake up. Open your eyes. It would be so much easier to turn away and do nothing. Isn't that right, Stacy?
No. Stacy, please.
You cannot turn away from us, Stacy.
No, not again.
Greg is gone.
He is with us now. But your tribulation will serve a higher purpose.
Who are you? What the fuck do you want from me?
You know my name, Stacy Carlson. You've known it since you were a little girl. You will remember, and you will call me Magus. As for me, my name is Chess. You will know me when we meet. There is no running from this. You have a glorious destiny ahead of you, girl. Embrace it. Praise be, Stacy Carlson.
No!
Jesus Christ. What the hell happened to you?
Who the fuck are you? What was that?
Stacy, I'm sorry, but you need to take a breath and calm down.
Don't tell me to calm down, goddammit. Are you with them?
With who? Who are you talking to?
You know damn well who it was. Was your computer connected to them this whole time?
Stacy, you need to listen to me. This was not a live feed of any kind. That was a recording of a lecture given 2 years ago by a man named William Chess.
He said his name. He said, I know him when I met him.
He never said his name, Stacy. And you won't meet him. William Chess has been dead for over a year.
What? No, he was speaking to me. Him and the other one, the preacher, Elijah. His name is Elijah.
Is that who you heard in the car?
Yes.
And again just now.
Stay away from me.
Ms. Carlson.
Both of you, just leave me alone. I'll find Greg myself.
Ms. Carlson, I can't let...
Leave me the fuck alone!
Ms. Carlson, come back! Well, that went well.
I'm sorry.
Did you get anything out of all that?
Maybe. I've heard rumors of an Elijah. Nothing more than whispers, really. And not for a long time.
You believed that? I mean, no offense, Doc, but that didn't exactly strike me as the most reliable eyewitness testimony I ever heard.
She's upset. I'll try again after she's had a chance to calm down.
How are you gonna do that? She didn't sound too likely to be making an appointment with you anytime soon.
I'll find her.
Observations and conclusions. Physically, subject appeared to be exhausted, which is to be expected. There are dark circles beneath her eyes and a slight tremor in her hands. She displayed signs of anxiety and even paranoia throughout our interview, looking nervously at the door, the clock, and my equipment. As you have heard, subject became extremely hostile toward the end of our time together. She's struggling to keep her emotions in check and still refuses to believe many things she knows to be true. However, her mind remains open, and her determination to find her husband is, if anything, stronger than ever. I intend to monitor her discreetly for the time being. Whatever fragile rapport I may have established during our session was shattered by her experience toward the end of it. So I'll need time to uncover whatever it is she's hiding. As you warned me, there's more to this woman than meets the eye. Nevertheless, I remain confident in my ability to reach her and find out whatever, if anything, she actually knows about tribulation. End field report.
Stay tuned for scenes from episode 3. Tribulation is brought to you by Listen Up Audiobooks, your independent audiobook store. Listen Up makes it incredibly easy to browse and buy audiobooks in no time. No complicated signups or subscriptions to mess with. It's just like walking into a bookstore on your phone. They carry a wide selection of best-selling titles in all genres, like political fiction. Check out New York Times bestseller Advise and Consent by Alan Drury, a sweeping tale of corruption and ambition in Washington, D.C., set during the Cold War. Go to listenupaudiobooks.com and use the code GREG at checkout for 10% off your first purchase. That's listenupaudiobooks.com, code GREG. If you like the show, please take a minute and leave a review on iTunes or share us with your friends. It really helps. You can listen to Tribulation on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, and anywhere podcasts are found. Or go to thishollowearth.com for more about the cult of Tribulation. Tribulation was written by Adam Janke and directed by David Markowitz. John St. Denis was the engineer. Sound design and mastering by Cooper Skinner. Produced by Greg Cooler and David Markowitz. Chris Fogg, executive producer. Starring Lauren Goines, Eric Goines, Trevor Goebel, Kate Kovac, Tom Clark, Janet Metzger, Janine Fleming, and Fleet Cooper as Magus. Tribulation is a Zero Mile Media production, made in Atlanta. And now, scenes from episode 3.
This week, I want to talk to you about Tribulation. I haven't talked about these fucking whack jobs in a while, but if you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you've heard me mention them before. If you haven't, we're going to catch you up as we go, because I've got an interview I really want you to hear.